Welcome to GoToGal, episode number 147. As always, I'm your host, Jacqueline Malone. And as always, I'm super excited to share our guest with you today. Today, we have Dr. Lindsay Padilla joining us. Now, Lindsay is a friend of mine. Gosh, we go way back to 2006. It was like right after I had Marshall. I was taking 90-day year and we connected through that course. So side note, if you're taking live courses or group programs online, I hope you're connecting with people that are in those programs. People don't talk about that enough, but I think that's one of like the hidden gems of taking programs online, live ones at least, right? So side note on that, but we've met in person a couple times and I just always enjoy my time with her so much. And now Lindsay is a wealth of knowledge and experience, but I'm bringing her on for some very specific reasons today. One is I've been really impressed with how Lindsay, who already had a very established, very successful online business, is starting a new business, a SaaS company, a completely different kind of business. And she's doing it in a really unique way. So I've been following her journey with that, asking her a bunch of questions and just really fascinated about what she's doing with that. So I was intrigued about bringing her on because I'm like, this is different. This is exciting. And I love how she's doing it. She's launching this new software product called Hello Audio. Now, you'll hear me kind of joke slash like humble brag about being one of the first people who joined or bought it last year. But I am obsessed with her vision. We're in total alignment of just audio being this massive opportunity. Clearly, I'm a big fan of podcasting, both with growing my podcast GoToGal, with Farnoosh and I having multiple programs on podcasting. We have Pace to Podcast, which, by the way, is coming out again in December this month. Stay tuned for that. And now we have a podcasting mastermind. I have a digital product, the plug and pitch system to be a guest on podcasts. Like, clearly, I'm all in on podcasting, right? But the power of this platform is not just, and this is something that I hadn't thought of before Lindsay had created this, it may not just be for the reasons that we're using it, but there's this other potential of some of the reasons why I love audio, where I don't have to just be sitting at my desk and watching videos. Even when I take online courses that are video-based, I typically just listen to them. I put a headphone in and I multitask. I mean, yes, I have ADHD, but I feel like also people that don't have ADHD don't necessarily like to or have the time to sit at their computer for hours and hours taking courses. It's so much better if we can fit it into our days, our lives, right? So this concept of using audio for teaching, which we kind of already do on podcasts, right? But to be able to take that and deliver courses that way in a way that's protected so only your paid students have access, I was like, hands up, sign me up, like this is brilliant. So I'm really excited about what Lindsay's building. I also have loved learning from Lindsay over the years. And I'm someone that I tend to err on the side of overthinking, for better or for worse. And maybe just because of the way my brain works, I just was really nervous about shifting into teaching and creating courses. I was really overwhelmed by, okay, I know all of this stuff. And when I'm coaching clients, they can pull it out of me and with a second's notice, right? Ask me the right question and it all comes flooding out. But the idea of trying to take all of that and structure it and put it into courses always felt really overwhelming to me. And what do we, you know, how does all that work? So today, I wanted to have this like double conversation with Lindsay, where we could talk about what she's doing now with Hello Audio and the opportunity there and some of the really creative things that she's doing and how she came up with those ideas or decisions. But to parallel that through her process. So one of her signature programs was called Build a Better Beta. I don't know if she's still offering it, but I'm like, can we go through what you're doing now and almost align that with the strategies that you're teaching your students in Build a Better Beta for like, how did you build your own better beta, right? I'm really fascinated by this. So that is our conversation. If you have a course, want a course, or thinking about a course, any of the things, I like, be prepared to get inspired, to get some ideas and strategies that you can really implement on. Now, if you are curious about her company, Hello Audio, go to jacquelinemalone.com/Hello Audio. That is my affiliate link. Disclaimer, in case that wasn't obvious. Oh, but I'm really excited to get to share this with you. This can be used for a full course. If you already have a course and Teachable or something like that, this can work in conjunction with that. I actually use Member Vault for my courses, and now we're starting to use Hello Audio in addition to it. So people have the option of going through and watching the videos or listening. But Lindsay has some cool ideas about maybe not just full courses being on there, but even freebies or things like that. And of course, I'm just all about audio content in general. I could probably just talk for another hour about this, but let's actually bring Lindsay on so we can hear what she has to say. Now, before I bring her on, though, I want to formally introduce you to Lindsay. Dr. Lindsay Padilla is the ex-professor turned entrepreneur behind OnCourse Social, the dynamic prompt calendar tool, which I love, by the way, and Build a Better Beta, an online program that helps experts and educators alike launch their first courses quickly and easily. She is also the CEO and founder of Hello Audio, which takes your content and creates private audio feeds that make consumption easier for your people. Also obsessed with this. Oh, you can see why I have Lindsay on, right? All of her frameworks were born out of her tenure track years teaching adults online at a community college and ridiculous amounts of learning she's done in all things education and the years spent growing her course creation business online. With this unique background, she is also the rambunctious host of the Wealthy Teachers podcast, which covers the business of teaching online. All right, let's get to it. Here's Lindsay. Lindsay, I'm so excited to have you here.
Hi, Jacqueline.
I know. I'm like, let's finally press the record button because I could just talk to you all day.
Likewise.
But we want to record this so we can capture this conversation and share it with everyone else too. Yeah. Oh, okay. Before we get into you and all the amazingness that you're up to now, take us back to when you were growing up. What were you the go-to gal for back then?
Ooh, I like thought about this. I was really a good athlete. So I was picked first on teams when there were co-ed things. I was the girl that was picked first. So I think I was like the go-to girl for like team. Like I was really into soccer and softball. So maybe it was just like Lindsay's the athlete who is also like really smart and likes. Like I was also president like multiple times in my life of like elementary school and not in seventh or eighth grade. And then in high school, I wasn't president, but then I was president of my sorority as well. So like, I think this like leadership team thing came out of that. So go-to, I think, yeah, is I was very social. So just like Lindsay knows lots of people. Kind of go-to
thing.
Well,
none of that surprises me. Yeah. Oh, but I don't know what it's like to ever get picked first for anything sports related.
I know, right? Yeah.
All right. So fast forward to today. What do you do and who do you help?
Hi. Well, I am the CEO and co-founder of HelloAudio.fm, which is a software that helps course creators, coaches, influencers, all those folks basically put their premium content on private audio feeds for their customers, which we're finding helps their customers basically learn on the go. So the busiest people that you have, you know, in your audience who are trying to listen to your stuff or trying to, you know, experience you and learn from you by meeting them where they're at in the podcast app, they actually are able to get closer with you and learn from you while they're doing lots of other things, which is really great. So that's HelloAudio.fm. I also am the CEO of Wealthy Teachers, which is a company that has trainings on how to create courses, specifically how to build a better beta and how to launch your courses really quickly so you can start teaching as fast as possible.
Amazing. And I love how these two fit together. Okay. So With Hello Audio, which I was like, not to brag, but I feel like I was like one of the first.
You're allowed to brag. I love it.
Insert humble brag. I'm one of those early adopter people. Like what? Like I was like in line for
we're
the
the
first
same.
iPhone.
Me too. Don't care if it'll break or ruin everything, I'm going to try it.
The funniest part is though, is I didn't fully take advantage of being the early adopter, but I still, I just like to brag to be like, I saw the vision
I knew
before the masses
Yes.
knew. Oh, so it's been so cool to see where this started as an idea and where you are now and where your vision is now for it and how that's grown over the last year. So how did this idea come to place? Your background is you were a professor. We didn't get into your whole, so
You didn't
maybe
even get,
like
yeah.
through this. So
Yeah, accidental
through this, I think it's
entrepreneur.
gonna come. So yeah, so how did, tell us a little bit about what you were doing before and how you even came up with this idea, because
Yeah.
this is so innovative. It's an online teaching platform that's audio only. And we see so many that are all video and everyone tells us, I don't know if they tell us or if it's just inferred because all of the courses you take are video, that like it needs to be video. But I even have some courses that don't have all video modules. And
Yep.
I've had internal, like, is it good enough if there's not a video component? Like, we're like, like, because it's just like, it seems like everyone does video. But
Yeah.
being a podcaster and loving the audio platform and listening to courses, even if it's video, I just listen. I don't actually watch the
That's
video.
what happens with most people. And then their
Right.
phone shuts
So.
off, which you're like, damn it. Yeah.
Right, which is where I was like so cued into what you were doing from the beginning. So, yeah, how do you come up with this idea?
Yeah, so I think, it does start with being a professor because I taught for 10 plus years, both online and in person, and spent my whole life in education. So I'm, that's like where I was, that's like who what made me, right? So you can't separate that from when I accidentally started a business and started helping people create better courses. I always inherently knew like, oh, teaching is more about the fancy learning management system, like picking Kajabi or Teachable or Thinkific. Like, that doesn't make you a better teacher. What makes you a better teacher is like showing up for your students, working through, learning how to teach better, knowing that you're not going to teach it right the first time perfectly. All these different things that I just knew from education totally applied to helping entrepreneurs teach better. So, when I dove into helping entrepreneurs teach better, one of my early business kind of high-end packages, if you will, was to create a course for you. And the model that we chose for that was I would actually say, okay, Jacqueline, you know so much about podcasting and you want to create a course on podcasting, but you don't want to like sit down and outline it or whatever. I would just say, okay, let's like make the outline and now go lecture on these topics and don't think it and speak into this microphone. Like, don't overthink it. So what we did with like a little bit of editing is then I would take that audio and set it to PowerPoint slides and you didn't have to do anything. And so from the, white glove service, I'm helping you create a course, taking away the thing that's overwhelming, making the slides, what you have to look like on video, uploading it to the site. So that was like my like high-end, multiple five figure, investment. And that I think was kind of the beginning. And then there were so many courses that I worked on, and I was just like, this could just be an audio. This could just be even an email sometimes. But yeah, the idea that everyone was getting so worked up over what their video looked like, buying all the things, sitting down and making the PowerPoint. I'm just like, most people, I'm making up a number, but like 90% of courses, there's not like visual things that need to be taught, even on that most basic level. And it's like you really could just have an audio course. But the reason why people weren't is because they're charging $2,000, $997, $5,000. So they feel like they have to have a certain level of experience. And there's nothing wrong with the way Kajabi is set up or Thinkific or anything like that. But the real value comes from the person sitting down and doing it. And if one of the obstacles is logging into a desktop that already has so many distractions, they're basically being set up to fail. And that's where it's just like, and you and I are similar. We were talking about, ADD and distractions and all the things. Yeah, that's why it's really hard for me to sit down and consume someone's course because there's a lot of things happening on this desktop and a lot of distractions. And so that first initial idea came from just telling some people like, hey, just record the audio, like remove the heavy, hard obstacles that we place on things like tech, when in reality, they just don't want to make it because they don't want to actually sell it. That's like the mindset stuff that's happening. And so when you start to remove all of it, which was totally the Build a Better Beta process, then they literally have to go sell it, which is scary and still hard. But like, what if you took away all the hard things? And if you boil it down, like audio is pretty helpful when it comes to like doing it quickly. So yeah, that would be where I would say the early days of it came from. Yeah.
All right. And then what happened then? Because we've all had those ideas. And growing up, my mom would say to me, you know, you just have to have that like $1 million idea or that like that one idea, right? And I have actually had many multi-million-dollar ideas. Yep. And then shortly after, like Amazon would do them. Totally. Or like, I forget what in college, I did a whole thing in my entrepreneurship class on an online scrapbooking company. And then like that happened after. So I've had these ideas, but hadn't implemented and saw these companies just, you know, really own it, right? And I've even had with names of things. The first name for my business, which was awful, was Mompreneur Society. It was like 6 weeks, and literally there were so many other Mompreneur Societies that were found or people reaching out to me in that 6 weeks, which I just hated anyway. And I realized the name was wrong, but it was like, okay, this is more than just like having the idea or the name. Like it's the magic is in the execution. So you have this idea, but how could you think that you could start like a software company?
I know.
You're not a programmer.
I love that this is where the conversation is going. So I think there's a couple things.
Okay.
The first is, you're right. Ideas are worth nothing. They're not copyrightable. They're not patentable. Like they have to be executed. But what I think I've learned too, because I'm the same. I'm also an ideation person. There's paths you go down that then set you up for that idea to actually come to fruition. I think like Elizabeth Gilbert talks about this a little bit in Big Magic. So it's a combination. It's not luck, but it's the ability to see something creative and innovative and be in the position to execute it. And I think some of our early ideas in business have helped us to get to the point where we're now able to act quickly on an idea that's really good. So, and I do also think some people just inherently are kind of good at seeing that kind of stuff. And I've always known that about myself. But in the early days, I mean, we sat on it for probably 6 months, at least maybe over a year. And I think actually the event we hung out at in social media marketing world is like, I was starting to talk to people about it. I remember telling Amanda Bond, I was like, so I'm thinking, you know, and the idea even then was just being seeded in that spring, and we didn't execute until August. And what happened was, is my husband is actually more into the podcasting world and understands tech more than I do. So he's like, we had a couple of thoughts where we're like, the first thing we did was get Build a Better Beta on a podcast feed manually ourselves. And so we gave it to our students. They really enjoyed it. And we're like, do we have something here? Like, could Derek just teach people how to manually do this? Yeah. Is it easy? Does it take a lot of time? It is not. And it takes a lot of time. So we started to look at, okay, well, what's out there already? Why is no one already doing this? And so we started to dive into like actually how the technology works, like RSS feed specifically, which is its own unique, really interesting world, which is also what has kind of delayed some of the innovation that has happened in podcasting is because of RSS feeds, which is like a whole other conversation that we don't need to get into because it's kind of boring. But it works differently than other software, and it's very open source. And if you're mad that you can't track listeners and all that stuff, it's because that data has always been really open and there isn't one way to do it. And so until Apple makes a different way to do it and makes everyone do it, then we'll be able to start collecting for me. And people are starting to, like, it's a growing industry. They're trying to get better at ads. They all the things. So that's what I mean, though, is the innovation in podcasting hasn't really happened in a while. It hasn't really had its heyday. It's kind of like uncharted, you know, territory or a new frontier in so many ways. So once we looked into RSS feeds, what else is out there? So that's also really important when you have a tech idea, like who else is doing this and why? And the thing that's cool about creating a software that solves your own problem is then you can look at who else has that problem. And we looked at, okay, I teach people how to make courses, right? Or I know like membership sites. And I was watching people ask for podcast feeds in Stu McLaren's Tribe Facebook groups. And that's when I was like, oh, they haven't thought about it because Libsyn doesn't serve our audience. They serve podcasters. So yes, a bunch of companies started popping up that served podcasters and how to monetize, but it's still, again, for podcasters. And there's some assumptions being made about what those people create and what their businesses look like. And most of them don't have it, right? Have a business. So we are like, oh, we basically would become a podcast hosting company for a hyper niche, which would be these coaches, course creators, influencers who already have content, and we would just help it be easier to use. So most of our users, I don't know who you host on yourself, but most of our users don't enjoy the podcast host company that they're on. And there's not a lot of like fancy things going on in many of those companies. While there's like 30 of them, they're not super intuitive. And so we built a software that had the features that a content creator would expect, like bulk upload, drag and drop a video and freaking auto convert it to audio, transcribing it. Like a lot of podcasts do transcribes, but like the bulk upload, you know, is a game changer. And I don't think a single podcast hosting company does that because they're not looking at you and going, oh, Jacqueline has 100 episodes to upload, like, which you would love, I'm sure, to batch that many, but you don't.
Oh my gosh. I don't know if I could ever get that far ahead.
Yeah. Right? Okay.
But also if a podcaster came to me and they were like, oh, I want to, you know, just put like 30 episodes of my podcast, I'd be like, do not do that, right? That's not necessarily going to be the best thing for your podcast. So It's thinking of the platform, of the whole idea in a totally different way, because It's not for the traditional podcast way. This is a private feed experience. Correct. for course and for that type of training content or educational content.
Yep. Yeah. So once we saw that this group of people, like there's crossover, clearly you're a crossover. You're somebody who, right, like has this business, has this brand, has courses, and uses podcasts as your main traffic. There's a lot of people that do that, but there's a lot of other business owners who haven't jumped into podcasting yet, which they should buy your course so they can know exactly how to do that. But the key is that they've never experienced what it's like to run a podcast. So they don't know what uploading looks like or what's, Yeah. So once we nailed that down, that then is the product market fit that people need when you create a software. And like, yeah, I mean, we saw it. And I think there's a lot of software that gets created just because it's a vision that like, you know, an engineer has, and then there's no audience to buy it. They aren't actually solving the right problem. And so we knew really quickly that, oh, this could be something. And so we took action and sold lifetime licenses of something that didn't exist, which allowed us to fund development, which again, is not super common in the startup, you know, SaaS world, but like I started doing it right without really even knowing. And so starting with people raising their hand and saying, yes, I want this. And I think we had like 100 people in that first like month and a half that lifetime licenses, that first launch, which is a little over a year ago now. And so from there, we just kept going. And yeah.
So let's stop there because I love the parallel journey of like, okay, what actually you did. And also, what can we take from this as we're, you know, maybe not a software company, but maybe just someone's course or offering or business idea, right? So you got this idea, you did the market research, you were seeing the competitive analysis, what the competitors were doing. And then let's break down how you were able to, one, I love that because you didn't come from that world,
the
SaaS world, that you weren't bogged down of like, well, this isn't how it's normally done. Right. And going back to that of, you were like, well, sometimes earlier you said, if we're taking action on ideas and it's leading us to the next thing, we're then better suited. And I feel that in my soul. I think everything in business is right. It's sometimes things go right, go wrong, but it all kind of is leading us in that direction of who knows what's going to come next.
Yeah.
So that know, love, and trust, if you will, that you built in years of being in the online space and helping people talk about how to teach and creating courses and all of this stuff, you already had that built up for years. So you weren't just going in and like trying to find random people on the internet to buy something for me for the first time. You had this built in trust.
Yeah. It was literally a Facebook post. I think you commented on it. I could dig it up. It was in October. Yeah. Or like August. And it had like 300 something comments. And it was just like, wouldn't you like to like podcast your course? Because that's what we called it early. And people were just like, what? How is no one? Yes, yes. And so, yeah, that's how that happened. I do want to say it's so funny that we're talking about it like this, because I actually did not want to be a CEO of a software company in the early days. So I doubted myself. I did not have that trust. And I wasn't like, okay, I'm going. What happened, I basically had some connection calls with people. Harry Duran is one of them, who's in the podcasting space, that I met through an event. And we had a chat about it. And it was good talking to someone who is a podcaster and kind of he knows a lot of the CEOs of a lot of these companies that I've mentioned, right? Like different podcast host companies. He's like, I know a lot of those guys. He's like, you don't have to reinvent the wheel. Why not approach them about building something together? And I was like, see, that's cool. Yeah, they already have the back end that we need. We would come up with some relationship where then I basically helped them build an arm of a business, whether I white labeled, whatever. So I started going down that path and I learned a lot of that. And I was working with a company and we were on that path, and she was a VC funded podcast hosting company. No, not podcast hosting. Sorry. She just helped podcasters monetize. And we were like, you know, there's money in the hosting and this audience, right? And I had to teach them about this audience. And then they had to go back to their board and get approval and like all this stuff, because they, you know, were about, I think, got raised about 3 million. So then comes February of this year, and it was a slower process because I wasn't in charge. And I had told her multiple times I wasn't planning on becoming a CEO of a SaaS company. I would just like to, you know, partner with someone who's already started, because I felt like I didn't know. And then a couple of major things happened. A current customer approached us and said, hey, why don't we build it together? This is what I do. I help people build. And that made my brain start to think a different way. It also was after I had just launched OnCourse Social, which then freed up more time in my business where I wasn't actually coaching regularly. And so then I was like, oh, I do have capacity potentially to be a CEO of a SaaS company and like work on this development. And so basically what I did was, well, that ended up being not a lovely relationship and we parted ways. But I'm like grateful to that relationship because it made me trust that I could be a CEO of a SaaS company. And I found a coach who I could learn from. So there's totally a how to build a software coach, Dan Martell. And I learned, I like now had somebody that I could go to that could help me with a lot of the choices that I was making on this journey. So then I got the knowledge and experience as I went. And let me tell you, we've built the software 3 times. We're almost over again, multiple times. It's been quite a journey. So I have a lot of stuff to teach people about building a software. But yeah, I'm learning that as I go, right? So even these conversations, we're now actually doing a round of fundraising, friends and family round to raise money for the company. And I learned that, you know, by doing it, right? I have the right people I can ask for help. But like, again, just taking action and being like, oh, I could totally do this. And I care a lot about it. I think that's what I realized in that, where I was like, oh, if I partner with this other company, I'm beholden to the board. She's actually the CEO. I get to help them with it, but like, it's not mine. And then it's like my vision was bigger. Mm-hmm. And I think I started to think about Spotify and like the audio education world and like where we plan on going with Hello Audio. And I was like, oh, I have big ideas around this. Like, I can't let someone else run it. Like, I think I didn't let myself have those big ideas super early on because I was scared. I was like, what? I don't know how to, right? Same questions I was telling, or same, you know, limiting beliefs I had when I first started my business by myself too. It's like, I don't know how to be a CEO. I know how to be a teacher, right? And then it's not true because we've learned so much. And that, in fact, our company has a great team because I've done exactly what you said, bootstrapped, sold courses. I know marketing more than most SaaS companies do out there. And that confidence was like, I actually saw it being in Dan Martell's group coaching program. There's a lot of tech founders in there and they don't know marketing. He's teaching them how to make lead magnets. And I'm like, oh, great. I know all of this. And that's funny that I, you know, and his program has helped me so much, like hands down, but he's literally like, here's how to make a lead magnet. Here's how to do a webinar. Like, and I was like, oh, cool. Check, check. Right. And just recognizing that I had the skill set and, but I did not believe in myself in that early stage. I wasn't like, okay, this is it. It took some time.
Oh, and one more thing. You know how I mentioned that Farnoosh and I are opening up Pays to Podcast again? If you are thinking about starting a podcast, if you are like, yes, 2021, I am launching a podcast, or like, maybe Jacqueline, I'm kind of curious. Maybe you've already started the process of launching a podcast, but you haven't quite gone through that finish line yet. And you're a little just like, what do I do next? There's a lot going on here and you want to make sure you do it right. Listen, I'm not just about launching a podcast, but launching a podcast that serves as that growth engine for your business. We want podcasts that help make you money and that help you get leverage it for all of the things that you want to do in your business. If you are thinking about this, come join us in our free 5-day challenge. It's called Project Podcast. We kick off on December 7th and it's completely free to join us. We're going to help you put your profitable podcast plan together. Go to challenge.paystopodcast.com and sign up for free. Hope to see you there. Oh, thank you for sharing that and taking us like behind the scenes of this because I love that we're having this conversation now too, because I really do believe you're onto something that's going to explode and just redefine and change the industry. Hearing you share that and where you are now and like, this is just beginning.
Yeah,
it's very exciting. Okay. So one of the things I want to talk to you about, and you started to talk about this a little bit earlier on, but one of the first things that just hooked my attention with you whenever I found you online or however we first connected was that you weren't just talking about how to create an online course, but that you were actually talking about like how to teach.
Yeah.
And nobody's talking about this. And I don't know if enough people are asking the question, obviously enough where that you built a great business off of it. But I think that so many people get so consumed with the tech of things or with the marketing of things, but it's at the end of the day, if people are taking your course and they're not actually doing it, or if they're doing it and they're not getting good results, you are going to go out of business because you can't market yourself out of a bad course or a bad product, right?
Depends on how much money they have.
All right, I stand corrected. But ultimately, your student's success is going to lead to your success, right? Exactly. That's what's going to lead to them wanting to be affiliates or people referring friends or just amazing testimonials and case studies and all of that. So that's something I was like early on, like how to teach. Like, I don't know. Part of it was probably imposter syndrome and just like second guessing everything. But the other part of it was like, being ADHD, I don't think linearly. So I'm like, how do I like present information in a way that actually helps people and they understand it and it makes sense and they can implement? So what are some things as we're creating courses or creating a program that's taking people through stuff? What are some things we should keep in mind to really have that great learning experience, implementation experience for our students?
Yeah, I talk about this a lot. And that's like literally what I built my business on. And the reality of it is, as someone else who like has ADD tendencies, I've never been officially diagnosed, but I'm pretty sure I have ADD. You can still be a good teacher. Just because you don't think linearly doesn't mean that it's a bad way of thinking. But it's true. It's really hard for somebody who doesn't think like that to actually sit down and like map out their framework. That's like kind of not how their brain works. And so what I always found is somebody who also does not learn in that way and does not speak in that way, it's all about iteration. Like what I want people to realize is you will be a better teacher by practicing and like being a teacher. And so that was always like my heart in Build a Better Beta. It was like, well, I know you care about people getting the result that you want them to get. You're not doing it for a money grab. That's why you're here. So how can I get you teaching and serving as fast as possible? And the reality is, guess what? Like you can lesson plan and you can like map it all out, but you won't do it perfectly the right time. Even the most linear thinkers, you know, the expert problem where we kind of know too much and we don't really know where our students are. That's very common in the industry, which means you're speaking up here at a high level and they're missing the granular, like, what do I do? And my thing is like, yeah, you can be concerned about how you organize information and you can, you know, do your best at like setting it up right. But I'm always like, you just need to get it out there and like watch real people deal with it. And so for me, the way I teach it and build a better beta and the way I like talk about teaching is that teaching is not just the video you make or the worksheet or the outline. It's like all of you. Like there's a whole being that is in the classroom and you are in the classroom with other beings. And so there is an emotional, a physical, a mental, and even arguably like a spiritual, however we want to define that. That's all part of teaching. And so when maybe you've never taught something for the first time, now I'm not saying you're teaching something you don't know how to teach. I'm saying that you're an expert or have this experience and past, you know, way of doing something that you would like to pass on to someone else. But what I mean is that you maybe have never literally taught someone else how to do it. You're not going to it the first time. And so being there emotionally, right? And like setting up the classroom so that it can be the best learning environment. Those are things that you could work on really well. That means the content doesn't have to be perfect. And I think there was this issue several years ago before I really started talking about it in this way, where people felt like they had to have this perfect polished course. I mean, it's still out there. There's still that thing where people think it has to be perfect. And what they're not seeing is all the iterations of that course has taken. And that's what I want people to recognize. You can be a perfectionist, but that's going to prevent you from like doing the actual work of like watching another human being try to like do something based on what you're telling them to do. Like that is at its core. And so in BBB, I teach this process of learning how, like any educator who's listening to this or anyone who has an educator in their life, they know that like you go and do a lesson in front of real humans and then you like, I remember in my early teaching day, you write about immediately after what went well, what would you do next time? Like all of that, you're assessing yourself constantly. And I think in this space, people are like, I made a course, like it's, I made it. Now I have to go sell it. And then they don't touch it for 2 years. And then, you know what I mean? And so that's the kind of thing of, no, you're going to actually get better by like looking at your teaching. And if you take away the shame from it, that like it's expected to look a certain way or anything like that, and you're just like, oh, I'm going to be a better teacher. I'm being a better teacher. I'm getting feedback. I'm analyzing the experience. I'm, you know, looking for ways to improve and I'm making those changes. If you're doing that, you're going to have a good course and it's just going to take time and practice.
Oh, such great points. And I identify so much with this. And I think sometimes the things that you teach that you've never been taught, like that's the stuff that is real gold, right? But it's hard to process and unpack because it comes so naturally to you that you have to use this like totally different side of your brain to be like, well, how do I do that? Or why did that work? And through that process, through teaching some of the things that I've done, I feel like I've really refined my expertise so much more because I'm now seeing it applied with other people and having to make tweaks to it or how I talk about it or break things down into templates or all the different things that have become an extension of it. I feel so much more knowledgeable about what I'm doing after teaching it, which is interesting.
There's something I want to share really fast about the BBB process. It was named something different, the framework and the whatever. It was after I taught it the first time live that I realized, okay, that's actually not the framework. That's what I planned out in my head. And then when I went, it's germinating. Every podcast I went on, every Facebook Live where I talked about it, I would get new insight. Like, duh, that's how knowledge works. So this idea that you would create a course and be like, I gave you the step-by-step process. Yes. And do you know if that was the best ultimate way to share it? Like, there's no way. And so for me, yeah, the whole thing changed. It actually became build a better beta and BETA were my phases. And I was able to like totally change. And like, yeah, sure. Some of it's marketing and like making it easier to like consume with like an acronym. But the reality is it was better. I got better at boiling down what was part of the method. And you can't know that right out the gate. And I think what I just want people to realize is like, hey, even as like a messy, you know, nonlinear teacher, like it doesn't mean you can't ever be a good teacher. It's like actually harnessing the qualities that make you really good is what makes you the best teacher. And any person you ask of who their favorite teacher was, you know, in elementary school, high school, college, and so on, most people are not like, oh, Jackman was such a, like, gave the best tests or whatever. Like, most people are like, or like, I got an A, therefore I was the best. It was like, oh, she was so funny, or she realized that I was really scared of math. Like, that's like my favorite teacher in elementary school was this person that I like literally was so scared of math. And she's like, you're actually really smart in it. And she like was like, you just need to practice over the summer. And I was like, oh yeah. And I did. And I came back and my test scores started going up. It's that kind of thing. It's like who they were as a person is typically what they're talking about as a teacher. They saw you as a human being and they went out on a limb. And it's like, you can add that to your course so easily. It's just, you know, outreach and, you know, knowing their story, knowing their business, if you're helping them with their business, all those little things, which is really hard at scale, but it's not though. Like you can get coaches and all of those things. But basically what I'm trying to say is even if it's messy and your content isn't perfect, it doesn't mean you can't help people get that transformation if you commit to helping them get that transformation.
Oh, such pure gold with all of this. Are you able to share what the beta stands for?
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I haven't taught this in a really long time. So the beta process is build your syllabus, which is kind of the stuff that most people teach, like how to outline it and how to like come up with ideas. But it's really truly just the syllabus. It's the outline of what is to be taught. So big general topics divided by weeks. And I take you through a process of like creating a syllabus as a professor would, where you're, you know, talking about the office hours and how much time you'll help and all of that, the plan, right, for the course. The next step is enroll. So I jump you right to enrolling your first students immediately. And I cut that down as quick as possible, where it's like, yeah, having conversations with past clients and posting about, you know, running a beta for this course. But the idea is make those sales. That's where it happens. And then the T is teaching. And this is where this stuff is coming out, where I teach you how to show up in this way. I have some more like frameworks and stuff for that, like thinking about how you're setting up that container and how to like lesson plan as educators do, which is, you know, you're teaching it live. That's what building a beta is. You're not pre-recording videos. So what happens is every Wednesday you meet for an hour or maybe 90 minutes and you teach a topic. You lesson plan for that topic during the week. And so that's what most educators do when you, as a professor, when I had a new section of a new subject I'd never taught, I was like a week ahead of my students and like reviewing my notes right before class. And so rather than feeling the pressure of having to have these like beautiful slides, I was just like, it was just my knowledge. And I like showed up live and taught them with my knowledge. And I was live editing the workbook that they had, you know, on the calls, just being like, oh yeah, you should totally do that, right? Because this knowledge is sitting in my head and I can reach it and pull it out for them live. So that's the teaching. And then A is analyze, which is now what we were talking about, going out, like going back, rewatching the videos, rethinking about that, like each week by week, and then basically breaking it down and saying, oh yeah, that actually was a tangential topic that they don't need. I'm going to cut it, or I'm going to move that section to an earlier or a later, you know, that kind of thing. So you're basically restructuring your outline, you know, based on watching yourself back. And I think that's another thing that like lots of people don't really do is like think about, okay, I'm going to watch how I taught this. I'm going to watch their faces on Zoom and see where I lost them, like where they started to look confused. Like that's all what real educators do, like out in the wild. And so just teaching that process then showed them, okay, now you can relaunch and you can pre-record your videos and they'll be tighter because you've already did the like, what's the word? Extemporaneous. Just like, oh, I'm pulling stuff from what I know. Word. Yeah. There's your
SAT. What's the word? Like this, like very fancy word I would never come up with.
It's a word that you and I are both good at, which is you can think on your feet because, and some people can't. And that's what makes them nervous about podcast interviews or like that kind of thing. So I'm a good extemporaneous learner or teacher. And so I can pull that like really quickly. And it doesn't make me nervous. It makes some people nervous. So like they don't need as much prep to get into a call or something like that. So Yeah. So that all plays in. And then you now have a tighter course that is shorter and more consumable. And what I see being taught over and over in the industry is like, oh, make it short, make it short. And I'm like, yeah, as long as you're picking the right stuff to teach in that, you know what I mean? Like, it can be short, but did you leave them hanging? Do they actually need more information? And that's where I was like, oh, people aren't teaching this in like the true educator, like what an educator would
do. I want to ask you, because everyone is teaching, do these like 5-10 minute things. And with Hello Audio, it's, I'm assuming longer form, but maybe not. Maybe they're 5-10 minute audio clips. But I'm curious what you just opened up that door of like, oh, like how long should these things be?
Yeah. Yeah. You want them less than 10 minutes. Like, absolutely. However, when you're teaching your first beta, I mean, the calls are an hour, hour and a half. Most group calls and programs are that length. And so what's cool about teaching in this beta live experience is you then get access to me to be able to be like, oh, I don't understand that part, which is also so key, right? Is like, you're literally teaching with people and then they can ask you and say, I don't understand that. And then you re-explain it. Now you have it on video and you should teach it that way and not the way you first explained it. So it's like so obvious, like after the fact, but yeah. So, you know, you're shooting, the adult attention span is low. Like our brains go lots of places, they say within about 10 minutes. And I think this is where Hello Audio comes in. It's this idea of, it's not just, can you sit down and watch a video, right? Are you disciplined enough? You bought a course. And some people are like, oh, if I spend more money, I'll actually do it. Sometimes, but also not
rarely.
Yeah. And so Hello Audio, this idea that you're building a course that then has MP3s under a lesson that are totally like named the wrong thing. You don't know where it ends up on your phone. You don't know where it plays on your phone. And all educators are like, oh, I guess we solved the audio learner part. And it's like, no, because that's not the best way to learn audio. And in reality, it's like, oh, podcast apps have figured this out. Like, they play in order. You can speed them up. You can like pause them. You can re-listen to them. And I was like, that's why. So now instead of having an MP3 under every video, you have a podcast feed that has all the audio content just waiting for someone to binge. And so for courses, yes, it can binge. If you teach it live, you can drip it and schedule it. So we built in all those features. But I personally think binging is the best way. And, you know, a question that often comes up is like, well, but like I teach Facebook ads, like, you know, they can't be an ads manager listening. And I said, ah, but you're kind of wrong there. Because if you've ever gone into Facebook manager, ad manager, you'll know it's a mess. And it's scary as hell. And it moves and changes every day. It gives me hives. Like, it doesn't work the way you think. Things aren't where they're supposed to be. So get this, you're a teacher being like, okay, all you have to do is click here. Don't look at anything else. But you're just like, wow, what's she clicking on? Like, there's this anxiety because you're watching someone else navigate a really scary platform. And the reality is you can actually just listen to it without seeing, because you're not getting overwhelmed. You're walking your dog and you're listening to a teacher say, okay, so you're going to hit drop down. You're going to open this. You're just not even thinking about the steps, but you're thinking about the process ahead of time. Then when you sit down to set up your ads manager, you've actually already scaffolded information in your head that it actually isn't foreign, because not only are you learning new information, you're watching this person do something that you're really scared to do. So it actually creates this anxiety in the learner's head as far as what information they can take in, right? And so if you remove the visual part of it, it's actually like you're in their ears. And we know this as people are listening to this, very intimate. Are me and Jacqueline hanging out at a coffee shop? No, COVID. But like, it feels like that, right? Like, we're personally like chatty and all of that. And that they're talking about, and I think they're starting to study this a little bit more about like how audio is different than processing visual things, and that it actually implants differently. And not only that, the multitasking ability as well, like being able to walk the dog and listen to something, that like repetitive calming situation you've put yourself, sometimes not all dogs are calm on walks, but like this like chill situation while you're learning is not the same as you logging into Kajabi and like how you're not chill. You are actually usually opposite of chill. Do I know where things are? Did the teacher like give me what I need? It's like anxiety inducing. Strip that all away. Get them in your ears. Let them listen first. then direct them to the site. And then they actually feel smart. They're like, oh, I remember when she talked about this, right? Like,
yeah.
I mean, you're basically creating wins for adult learners when you start to look at it that way. So
that's so smart. And I don't think you were referring to our mutual friend, Amanda Bond, but Bond actually has a great, like, I think this is because if someone's listening and they're like, well, you know, but I have something that's really techie and there are visuals that they do need to see or whatever. What Bond does in her course for those parts that are constantly changing, because anything that you're showing visually that is really complicated,
especially with these social media sites,
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
She does all that in screenshots and written.
Yep.
And so that way, when things change, they can easily just swap it out and they don't have to re-record all of the training.
So in her audio of her program, she could say, when you sign in, you'll see the walkthrough. Like, I'm not going to walk you through visually. Yeah, it's perfect.
Yes. And so that way you can have the audio that's supporting the overall or even doing the walkthrough if you want to, but then like to really show them like you have this, yeah, like just show them in the thing and then you don't have to re-record those videos. You could even have a team member like do new screenshots.
Exactly.
I thought that was so brilliant.
Yep.
So, all right.
She might have gotten that from us, by the way.
I'm pretty sure she might have.
We worked with her in the very early days of her
course. Yeah. Yes. Okay. I could ask you questions about this stuff all day, but I know you have to run. So how can we stay in touch with you and how can we learn more about Hello Audio?
Yeah. So helloaudio.fm is the website. It's got 14-day free trial. So you can play around risk-free, you know, upload videos, all of that, see how it, you know, converts and transcribes and all of that. So we are officially public. Mm. That's exciting. And then, yeah, I have an Instagram account for it. I haven't like done anything with it. I have a business page for Hello Audio. So yeah, I'm the personal brand moving into figuring out how to run software, like a software social media. So that's in the works, but all the accounts exist. And most of them you can find by just looking at Hello Audio FM. It should come up.
All right. Amazing. And we will put all of that in the show notes as well. All right, Lindsay, thank you so, so much. And yeah, and stay tuned because we're going to be implementing more of Hello Audio stuff around GoToGal too, guys. So yeah, it's coming soon. Dun, dun, dun. All right. Thanks so much, Lindsay. Can I just say thank you so much for listening? I don't think I say it enough, but I love that you are here. If you enjoyed today's episode or if you've been getting value from this podcast, would you do me a quick favor? Head on over to iTunes and leave a rating and review. When you leave a rating and review, it basically tells iTunes that they need to spread the word and tell more people about this podcast. And I am on a mission to get the word out. I'm so grateful for your support. We want to make sure to shout you out too. So if you do leave a rating review, keep your eyes and ears open. We will be either shouting out on the podcast or on Instagram stories.